Welcome back to Focus. We're honored to have General Keith Kellogg join us on the Focus program. General Kellogg is a highly decorated retired Army general and seasoned national security expert. With over 36 years of military career, General Kellogg commanded elite units, including the 82nd Airborne Division, and served in some of the multiple senior roles within the U.S. government. From National Security Advisor to the Vice President to President Trump's Special Presidential Envoy on critical foreign policy missions. More recently, you've probably seen General Kellogg on Fox News and other news broadcast channels, but General Kellogg has been on the forefront of international diplomacy, shaping U.S. foreign policy on Ukraine and offering strategic insight on global security challenges, including the evolving situation right now in Iran and the Middle East. His experience spans combat operations, senior White House leadership, and transatlantic diplomacy, giving him one of the most unique vantage points of the latest developments out of Iran. General Kellogg, welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's good to be with you, buddy.
Hey, thank you, General. Well, we appreciate you joining us. Can you kind of break down what's currently happening and what it means to global stability right now?
Yeah, and by the way, Rocky, is the president has been wanting to do something on Iran since his first administration. That's the reason he walked away from the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA, primarily because it had sunset clauses in there that after a certain period of time, they could develop enriched uranium, they could to a high level, or they could upgrade their missile fleet. So he saw that Iran was a threat, and he has always said that he did not want Iran to have a nuclear weapon, because if that happened in the Middle East, it would totally destabilize the region. And you treat a nuclear power significantly different than you treat a non-nuclear power. So he made the decision after talking to Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, his two negotiators, when they both realized that the Iranians were enriching uranium well above 3 to 5%, which is generally what you enrich to for a nuclear power plant or something like it. And they were in the range of 60-70%. So they were at a breakout period that if you get to 80% uranium, you can develop a nuclear weapon or you can buy one that is there. And he wanted to make sure that didn't happen. The second part of that was that their missile fleet, the Iranian missile fleet, could actually reach all the way to France. So you had a question. There was no longer just a regional threat. It was trending towards being a national threat as well. And then the third part of that, there was a theocratic government ever since the Ayatollah took over 49 years ago. And that theocratic government, religious-based government, would chant a death to America or death to Israel. And they wanted to make sure that they were out of the equation in the region and sort of stabilize the region with his friends, the Saudis or the Israelis, the Qataris, the Emiratis, Oman, UAE, you know, he wanted to stabilize all of that. So it all came together with this operation against Iran. And people out there don't realize how tough this is. When you see the size of Iran and the geography, you start to realize how hard this is. You know, Iran geographically, Rocky, when you put it together, is the size of Spain, England, France, and Germany combined. It's huge. It's bigger than what the initial front we had in World War II. So this operation is not intended to be a one and done, meaning it's going to happen overnight and we leave it, sort of like Venezuela. But it's going to be a protracted engagement that's going to go on for a couple to 3 weeks. Now, it's going the way it seems to me, it's going better than they believe it was going to occur. And General Kane just yesterday said they're moving from standoff weapons that you fire from a distance, sort of like having bombers on target right above it. And now that you can use your whole suite of weapons that you couldn't use before, you can bring in, as example, B-52s if you want, or you can just use all of your air assets. Do I think there's going to be land troops, in other words, infantry on the ground, that is U.S.? Absolutely not. There was only two places that I believe that U.S. troops could be used if they wanted to. One was to secure a landing in Bandar Abbas, because that is right across from the Strait of Hormuz, to make sure you did not have any shore-to-ship missile systems come into play. And the second was Karg Island, which 80 to 90% of their oil industry comes out of Karg Island. And then, since it is an island, you can secure it pretty well. And to ensure economically, we control their oil flow as well. So that is sort of an operational, a strategic, operational, and tactical view of the war that's happening right now.
Well, I think the audience kind of understands now why I brought you on, General, as one of your former, you were my boss at one time. You were obviously the commanding general, and I was just a soldier. But you are a wealth of knowledge. So, and you also date back, you look at the history as being a commander and as someone with your tactical and diplomatic knowledge. What lessons from the past conflicts that the U.S. has been involved with should the U.S. apply to prevent proliferation or further destabilization of the region?
Well, I think what President Trump has done, he's brought deterrence back into vogue, back into the question, into the equation. And I think the experience that I would say is that previous presidents have not used deterrence to the full weight of American power, and Trump does that. So Trump says, this is not going to happen, listen to me, and they don't do it. And so he applies the ultimate, which is combat power, to do it. So when you had a Biden, even George Bush or Barack Obama, anybody, they would always talk, but they wouldn't have action. And I think he's taken the talk, moved into action using that are all of our systems. And when you look at it, you realize that really when it comes to military soldiers, men and women, and our equipment, we're basically first in class. We've been able to operate with impunity against the very best the Russians have sold to Iran. They've sold them their S-300 and S-400 systems. They haven't worked. They haven't used their ship, their shore-to-ship missile systems. The Iranian Navy is at the bottom of the Persian Gulf. So bottom line is saying something and then using the power behind it,
sure,
which in the past we didn't do. We kind of talked about it. We never were willing to pull the trigger, as they say.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. General, we've got 1 minute left, and you know Russia really well. So I wanted to ask you this very important question. Knowing Russia, as you know, and understanding the Ukraine conflict, within 30 seconds, can you tell me, have we effectively ended the supply train of these drones to Russia that have been so effective in the Ukrainian war?
No, not really, because what's happened is they've started to produce them themselves. They don't get them from Iran anymore. They do it. We just have to start taking out, the Ukrainians have to start taking out the protection facilities of the drones. And you're right, it's a new age of warfare, drone warfare is. It's being adapted. We're doing it in the United States and the world as well. It's sort of like when the machine gun came into vogue, or the airplane came into vogue. So little things like that can change warfare, and they've done it. But with Russia right now, the biggest impediment to peace is Putin. It's not the weapons. Rocky, I'll give you a good example really quickly. When the Soviets came out of Afghanistan, they lost around 18,000, and they called it a day. Right now, Putin has lost between 1.2 and 1.4 million dead and wounded. And he's the one that's really holding up the peace process because of his desires. And if he doesn't want to become another Nicholas II, I think it's about who was the last czar. I think he just sort of say, I'm done for the day and go home. And now that's kind of been on the back burner, not truly back, but the second burner based on what's happening in Iran right now. So they'll develop and build those things far away from the front. They're starting to be targeted by the Ukrainians. I think that will continue to slow down that whole business and development cycle.
Thank you, General Keith Kellogg, soldier, diplomat, and special presidential envoy. You're listening to Focus on WJR.